remain, because in Australia, where he was taken to, it's now a what engine train,
railway line. yes. But you also had Dorman, important Khoi warriors who actually fought. You see, people know Jan van Riebeeck. They don't know the names of people who resisted Jan van Riebeeck. And it's those people we are bringing to life. If you go to Groenkloof, you are going to see all these people. Dorman, long before the wars of resistance as understood, but way back when the gentlemen, there's nothing gentle about them, by the way, Jan van Riebeeck and them, when they came and did what they did, there are people who said, no, this is our time. They were killed somewhere, exiled, as we're talking about Stillman, who ended up in Australia and so on and so forth. So we are going to be having that meeting. And in having it, we want to ensure that we galvanize the support of society so that people understand who we are. Because people think that this society started in 1652. Before then, there were people who were in the country. In celebrating our heritage, because that's our heritage, and broadly, if we broaden it, a number of important milestones in the historical evolution of our country are observed. 3 weeks ago, our people, joined by Progressive Humanity, celebrated the centenary death of that African patriot, President Oliver Reginald Tambo, a combatant who strode the globe like a true African colossus, who was described by a former Nigerian diplomat in the following manner, and I quote, "Oliver Tambo belonged to a remarkable generation of South African leaders on whom history was to place a stern destiny. In fact, as I got to know Oliver better, I came to a conclusion that no man ever wore a great destiny with more humility and dignity or style." Close quote. That's Emeka Anyaoku. Now, this observation, honorable members, is important. It's important for two things. One, that the proverbial Moses in the Bible, who was shown the land but who couldn't reach the land of Canaan. That's what Oliver Tambo was in South Africa. When people talk about the constitution of South Africa, they will talk about people who were at Kodesa. They will talk about Madiba, they will talk about Deputy President now, Ramaphosa, and so on. But this constitution was drafted by Oliver Reginald long before Kodesa. When he was preparing the Harare Declaration, he came up with the constitutional guidelines. If you take that document and take the constitution today, it's one document. Now, we thought that South Africa had not celebrated this giant as we should, who led our people for a long time.
Let me just make a short statement. We are just about to reach 11 o'clock, and I would request that you summarize your input so that you give enough space for the engagement of the community. Whenever you talk, you get carried away, and we want this thing to go on and on and on, because you're such a good historian. We really benefit from what you're saying, but because we have not set aside time, we need to engage you, maybe in a meeting, not as formal as this one, because we've got a wealth of information that we need. We are writing, but we need to control ourselves at the time. If you can just summarize and conclude.
No, no, thanks, Chair. I actually have just two issues. One is the issue of Nyogeni, which we, as you know, when we came to office, we wanted to know and to be advised of what is happening, because that thing, that whole process was done without any procedure. No procedure was followed, nothing. And it wasn't the fault of His Majesty the King, it was the department. It was the officials of the department who did that. Now, we got the legal opinion, which said that we should institute a forensic audit, which forensic audit was finalized in November 2015. And the final report was issued by the department in January 2015. In summer, it was established through the investigation report that there was no proper planning for Nyogeni. You know what happened with Nyogeni is what is called fiscal dumping. When something was nowhere, as it were. And we understand that members of parliament visited the Nyogeni. And what we are saying here is that we need to get guidance, because we feel that while things have happened the way they have, which then affected the royal household, the people who must face music is the department, but something should be done. We have reported criminally some of the officials. I've raised it with my former colleague, the Minister of Police, and even now, formerly the Minister of Police, we've raised with him what we think needs to be done, as it were. But we want the Parliament also to help us on this, because we thought that just walking away from that, firstly, the problem is that whole thing was said to be 300 million rands. And you can't account for that 300 million rands when you go there. And members of Parliament, we said this to members, and they also took from the National Assembly, they had an oversight. They confirmed what we said, that there is no 300 million there, which basically the royal household was taken for a ride itself in that whole situation. But then we said there are things which would need to be finalized over and above what is happening, what happened, why people are facing this. And the department this year put aside 28 million rand, 28 million rand to finish off some of the things there, because we thought that it would be more costly when we looked at the opportunity cost. We thought that it would be more costly to stay, to just walk away without finalizing some of the things there. We know that some of the members are saying that we should just walk away. We beg to differ there, because we thought that it's going to cost the state even more than what it was. Otherwise, the whole other amount people responsible had to take responsibility for it. On the annual report, Chair, over the past year, the performance of the department has improved. It has improved. And this can be attributed to the following: improved understanding and compliance to the guidance for strategic plans and annual performance plans, thus resulting to improved planning, budgeting, and reporting process. Significant reduction in the number of irregular expenditure for 2016-2017 financial year. Over the years, the department has focused on the key strategic initiatives other than to commit on the activities that it will not be possible to deliver. Improve synergy and alignment between the quality assurance providers, e.g. internal audit, monitoring and evaluation, finance, risk management unit. More internal controls were implemented as per recommendations from the internal and external auditors, thus improving the standard operating procedures and subsequently achievement of the planned targets. Improved understanding and compliance to framework for program performance information, more and more performance targets meet SMART principles and are within control of the department. Expenditure in some programs is higher compared to the targets achieved, and this has been attributed to one, some targets were partially implemented and funds were spent in the implementation process. Implementation of an unforeseen, unavoidable programs like responding to the one protest. Program one includes costs that cover operations, accommodation uses, and are not measured in the APP. Variance done from other programs to offset spending in other programs during the final variance. But I can see, or maybe the last one, the white paper review consultations that were done in 9 provinces and white paper review in the, I can say, Chair, the department can still do more. We can go to a point of clean audits, and the responsibility, the DG, as she was coming to the department, we gave him that this department should receive a clean audit. Unqualified is not the ultimate goal. We really want to achieve it. Sorry, I'm sorry, Jeff, for being long.
No, thank you very much, Honorable Minister, for your political input and also your remarks with regards to the annual report and the assurance that you are giving that there is improvement in the performance of the department as compared to the previous year. And also your remarks regarding the issue that you dealt with last week, the issue of NLM. It was also an embarrassment for the committee because it is an issue. As you are rightfully saying that we do not want to take it in a manner that ends up denigrating the status of His Majesty the King, but I'm happy that you are actually admitting that it is the department that is found wanting, and procedures were not followed because not in the APP it was a real fiscal dumping. But as a committee, maybe it would assist you, Honourable Minister, to know that we felt that we don't have the competency as a committee to deal with financial issues as spelled out in that report, to the extent that we say we're going to seek legal opinion of Parliament as to how we route it to the relevant committee, whether it is SCOPA or petition, to look into it and deal with it at that level, because you don't have the competency to do forensics, to investigate, and so on and so on. And the issues that we deliberate at the level of committees like this, unfortunately, they don't go to the House with the NSOP. So we shall have to reroute it to find space in one of the committees. We also did get a report that the portfolio committee of the National Assembly actually went there. We wanted to go there, but the minute we heard that they are going there, it was going to be the following week. We felt that no, it would be too much. It would stampede. Let us leave them to go there, and we are going to benefit from the findings of their report, Mr. George's opinion. I don't know the feeling of the members, but I think I share the same view with you, Honourable Minister, when you say leaving it or dumping it like that, it's going to be fruitless and it's full expedition over and above irregular expedition. Rather, let us finish the features that can be finished within the constraints of the funding that we have, so that at least it could be used. But it's an issue that is debatable. We congratulate the department for unqualified deposit outcomes. Nonetheless, we are looking forward to a clean audit. There are emphasis of matters that we need to get clarified on as to what strategies are there to work on those findings, those matters that the AG has made, to the extent that we arrive at the point of the paper. And all the other remarks that you made historically that are very, very important. We did get a briefing from the professors regarding the white paper. It's not yet finalized, but the process is such that we are hoping that we're going to reach finality very soon, because we need that one finalized to give us the guidelines. I heard you say, Minister, that you have put an engagement, that engagement is cabinet. Honourable members, the minister requested to be excused because it was an item towards the end of the program of cabinet. To be excused, the deputy minister will remain. I don't know if you want to make comments regarding the issues that they raised. Honourable Samka, Honourable Paula, Honourable Doc, Honourable Mampuri, in the
industry.
Honourable Lamin, or in the restaurant.
You know, Mphathiswa, ngangathi yalwanani. Ukubakho kwenu ekomitini kuyancedisa. Umzekelo sihlalo, ngelinye ixesha kuzawufunake sinike abaphathiswa libe ngabo abenza ipresentation. As honorable uminista umthethwa besefuna ukungena kuyo edadele enzulwini. The comment is that, you know, mna as isiko apho ndivela khona Eastern Cape ndikholelwa umphathi kubaphathiswa abayaziyo idepartment abayifilishayo athethe le nto ilapha kule presentation izawenziwa. Not umphathiswa osikanikezele edepartmentini, ndithetha ke ngokwezi uphindwe samka angayifilishiyo the department. Yayamkela mphathiswa ingathi ubungayiqhuba le presentation usinike. Also the political overview yakho ungene nzulu usifundisa imbali apho sivela khona. Loo nto yasincedisa ingase sibe nexesha laneleyo so thathi as i-Department of Arts and Culture isikhumbuza ukuba singobani, sivela phi, siphi ngoku, kumele senze ntoni na ukuze siunderstande ubuntu bethu. Iloo comment sihlalo ukubulela nje ubukho bakhe because kuyasincedisa. Umzekelo, xa engena kulo mcimbi wasenyokeni, last week besixoxa umcimbi wasenyokeni, if you were here ngosihlangulile besingakhange side singene kwii-questions ezininzi. Kubalulekile kakhulu ubukho benu, not to be here just for ukuphulaphula, but nisinike into yokokuba edepartmentini kwenzeka ntoni na. Enkosi sihlalo.
Thanks, Honourable Minister, Honourable Deputy Minister, colleagues, and the Department of Arts and Culture. I also share the sentiment of the Honourable Samka. But before I go there, Chair, let me start with the annual report by our chairperson. Our chairperson, we agreed that we did not say we seek legal opinion, we said we are referring the letter to scope.
And
that was our resolution. Mm. And we also resolved that we would like to go to Penguin during the first quarter of 2018. Mm. Those were the two resolutions we took on the matter. Minister, thank you very much. You really said a mouthful. Like Honorable Samka is saying, your passion in the heritage and cultural issues is really encouraging. And I want to agree with you that that is why it is always important to have the minister and or the deputy minister with us, because we get the benefit of even going to broader issues like you have talked about the SADC and the Africa and the global issues. So thank you very much. I also just wanted to thank you. But lastly, go on to raise my concern that I've always raised with you when you talk about these issues, especially the background to our liberation issues, the issue of inclusivity. You know, I have always engaged you on that one, and it still is a concern, because even today, during your remarks, I could sense that it has not yet been catered to adequately. So, just wanted to, you know, it's always my concern when you engage on this issue. I just want to remind you, you have not yet arrived. I still find you wanting.
Honorable Stock.
No, thank you very much, Honorable Chair. I think I need to apologize for arriving late in the meeting. Immediately after plenary, I was called to a meeting by the chief. So it's not a time of disrespect and a few minutes after the meeting started. I also would like to join my colleagues in commending and appreciating. And I see honorable members of Samka, because it's a political overview, and I would like to agree with the conduct. It's a thought-provoking political overview. It makes you to think and to pause a moment and think where you come from. So I would like to appreciate and join my colleagues on that part. And then I also would like to say, you know, it's always a privilege and a good thing to listen to the minister when he speaks or delivers lectures or political schools and all of that. We also had an opportunity, some of us, to be brought under his leadership in the youth formations of the African National Congress at some point. And when we were growing up at that point, the minister, you know, I know it's somebody that likes to read a lot. He will make reference to this book and this book and that book. And out of the many books that the minister actually challenged us to read, some of them, from the input that he was giving us today in the committee, there's a very interesting book by Francis Mailey, which is, what the title is, South Africa Belongs to All of Us. And I think what the minister said here, in the context of your input today, it reminded me of that book, and I felt I must just appreciate that opportunity, that we have actually brought back those memories. And I actually appreciate it very much. So for that, I think, Honorable Minister, we are looking forward to the bill or the law that is going to criminalize the issue of racism in South Africa. I think you went into detail about the explaining on it, and we agree with you on that one. And as a committee, I think we are in full support. So we are looking to engage further on that thing as we move forward as a committee. I think that's all, Honorable Chair. Thanks.
Thank you very much, everyone. Everybody. While I should have a good meditation, have a house, my coffee. But if you want to come along, what I was going to go over there, honorable Samka is taking my way. Because when a presenter is so good, he understands, he knows what he is telling you, you become so overwhelmed that you get connected to him so much that you don't want this person to end up the story that he is telling you. But I want to congratulate the minister, the deputy minister, for being responsible in your area of work, because you are forever in the committee. I'm saying this because though the
current deputy minister is from another responsibility. We could see her moving around, doing whatever's necessary. We wish you keep this up. Honorable Samka said he loves a person who knows the department is overseen politically. Because sometimes we get bored. We don't even want to ask questions. The minister will say, DG, take over. The DG will refer to the junior. Then you start to wonder, why are these people getting paid at the end of the month? It seems like they are just there as ceremonial people. So we are very happy. Number two, Minister, you are here. I'm happy you are both here. Mm. And you always come. So we can't keep you here. You are here, respected us. Then you turn at the opponent to say, may I be released after so many minutes because I have other responsibility to execute. May not. Thank you very much. Thank you very much.
No, thank you very much, Chair, members, Minister and the Deputy Minister and the team. The input the does encourage us. I do want to repeat, Chair, what I requested last time. We need a session that will be dedicated to this, not combined with the annual report. Because if Mission reports, I was going to say, let's put aside the annual report and continue with what the minister is talking about. Yeah, but now we have a job to look at, to deal with as a committee. Minister, I just want to say, maybe the engagement, community engagement that you have been with, at community level, we do need to have it at this level. Because as leaders, you may think that when we see the element of racism, the Black Monday or so, and think that not much has been achieved in terms of racism in the country, yes, yet the negative is true. A lot has been achieved. For the fact that the oppressor and the oppressed are able to sit in one room and plan for the country and make the country run for the past 24 years, it means that a lot has been achieved. But there are still elements. You just said that sometimes it's difficult to deal with attitude. That is what you see at our level. Mm-hmm. Some do say it like open sparrow, but some, not openly, as you see, but the attitude that you see at this leadership, at our level. That is why I would want to see those engagements happening at our level, so that we don't take for granted that people who are still racist are people down there. As we know that a person, when a person is born, we are born knowing nothing. Apartheid was taught. And some people took it very seriously. And they still want to leave that. And when you show an attitude or utter words at this level, people tend to believe you because you're a leader in the community. So we do want to see ourselves being part of those processes. I hear Ukaula Usi Ukaula Mina Ngela Mala. As a cousin, always when we talk, I raised it last time, Minister, that one would really like to know our own history now, the Dlamini. I saw so many Dlaminis at the Freedom Park. There are plenty of them. But when you are saying you're a Dlamini, people associate you with, of course, Basiswate. And I know that this background here is not only in Swaziland. We learned it. We took land from the Masego there. But they're coming from somewhere. We do want to have that. Before honorable Kaula and Wanzo's worry, but we have cooking the Wanzo and that. Nazis are full of claim on the Wanzo. Because So on a serious note, Chair, Minister, I did raise it last time. Really, one we want to know, which is we have some are saying we're coming from Central Africa, Togo. A lot has been said about that. I mean, but a person would want to know, where do we come from? How did we learn it best? Is an important thing to know, so that not anyone who wants to say something about you and you agree. The rest, other members have covered me, Jay. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Honourable Minister. Let me hand over to you.
Okay.
As you can see, that there is a lot of work to be done, because all these honourable members will want to know their origin. So we've got a lot of work. Maybe just before you come in, to go back to what Honourable Kaula said regarding Enyobeni. Yes, we did agree to the committee that the matter is going to be referred to SCOPA. And yes, we did agree that we'll make time to go and visit, because we didn't want to go straight after NC. But at the start of the meeting, I did indicate that because the matter is going to SCOPA, and SCOPA is in NA, I will have to get legal assistance in terms of how do you process that as a committee up to the time that it reaches that particular committee. So I still need legal directives for me to be able to do that, because now the matter is crossing houses from NCOP, which is going to NA. So it is on that score that I said we need a legal a directive or opinion in this regard. We've never done it before. I just wanted to correct that. Thank you.
May Chair, on that point, just for my clarity, what is the committee seeking to do with this matter to SCOPA? I'll tell you what. The committee, the NA committee, we gave them the report, the forensic report. I wonder if the department gave the committee the forensic report. We gave them the forensic report. So if they have not, I would suggest they give the, because the forensic report was done. It is through this forensic report that other people are criminal charged. Some, when they saw that we are finished, we are finalizing the process, they jumped. They went and joined other departments and so on. So it's a full document. The SCOPA will not have capacity more than the forensic report. So I'm saying that people are on the line, they are being followed up and so on and so forth. So, but it's up to the committee. But I can, without any fear of any contradiction, there is nothing new out of that process. And it was that we sat down with Ngangezwe Lakhe after it was finalized. He brought in people. We sat down, we went through, and the people explained. The Koboto forensic team explained what happened and everything, each and every detail. When the committee went there, they really actually affirmed what we said, because I'm sure that there will be leaks which will come from any book out of that process. All what needs to happen is that people must face music, you know, as far as the report is concerned. Chair, let me say, let me thank the honourable members and say that together with the DM, we will have to arrange a meeting, a session where there is no presentation, because I think it's important to get into the details of what is this these four branches are doing. What are they supposed to do? What are they doing? Politically, we sit here, we have a discussion amongst ourselves, whether it's administration, what do we seek to achieve with branch administration? With the branch heritage, what do we seek to achieve? With the arts and culture development, what do we seek? Because you see, in all these things, all of them without exception, there is one central feature, and that is a human being called artist, or heritage activist, or cultural activist. So we really would like to go, because each of these branches have their own culture, for instance. You know, culture is so important. People don't understand culture. You see, the Honorable Lamine, what we are talking about, we have agreed that we will ask members to write a story, what we call it, write your own story. Who are you? You know, a typical South African will know Ubaba no ma unkulu. They will know their parents, they will know their grandparents. From there, they don't know. You know? Which is a problem. If you go to Senegal today, not Dakar City, go to the rural areas. When you visit these countries, we demand to go to rural areas. You look at the Senegalese when they dance their traditional dance.
Yeah.
You will think that you say Madame. You know why? Because we are one. As I said, the common feeling that they call in the family. Most of us, as we are saying, we came in what is called the center of Africa. And people there are still called Ngoni who remain there. And some of us were called Ngoni, we are now Ngoni. We are the same people. We came in. You should know that. And we should be able to engage on that. But let me think that the community engagement we are talking about. The fact of the matter is that for 342 years, South Africa was ruled by force. And firstly, it was conquered by force, and it was ruled by force. Now, people don't explain why people are so violent. Why are South Africans are more violent than other nations to their own, to their children, to their women, to people living in albinism? Today, in KZN, people are appearing in court here to a Bandaban. What is it called? Cannibalism. So we will find time to talk about that, but I'm saying that let's find time, because it will clarify for instance, the liberation struggle throughout the continent, and the foremost forefathers of the liberation struggle, when they built that committee, what was the foundation of the liberation committee, which I was referring to later, having been the SG for a very long time. So we will find time and talk about this. It will help us. Because, as we say, we should know who we are in the true sense of the word. Who am I? Where did I come from? And what has been my contribution? I know exactly what you are talking about, Gabriel. You know, that day we take out our shoes and talk. Thank you very much.
I just hope that when the time arrives, you'll make yourself available, please, where we're going to have just an open deliberation without formal presentations, where you can have sufficient time to engage you to the best of your skills. Because the wealth of information that you have, you also need to have in order to pass it down to our own children and generations. Thank you very much. And then, please.
Yes, yes. when talking about
the youth in KwaZulu Natal when there was violence, you remember Madiba and Ndwana came together, there was a royal minute. They started the process of peace. But that process didn't go far. We decided, no, let's leave the old ones, let's come as youth, let's talk, because it's the youth which is being killed or killing people. So we discussed with these men. Very, you know, you are still young, but same ideas. We discussed with them. But we were measuring each other. Who are these people? Other congresses asking us. We didn't meet in Inkas. Our own were saying, no, but we can't meet with Inkas. Because these people are killing our people. No, but they are also accusing us that we are killing their people. And precisely because of that, we should meet. And when we meet them, they were complaining with one comrade there that we're meeting a lady here who's in Mkhonto West's comrade. But that engagement helped to ease the tension in KwaZulu-Natal. But I must say, we didn't trust each other.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Yes,
I don't know how I'm going to deal with that issue. But let us hope that we'll be able to talk to the flight and talk to the target, especially those that we were not able to meet, and look at financial matters and the HR issues in the main and we are going to summarize your presentation in a way. Look at the critical issues, the targets, and particularly those that maybe you are not able to meet, and explain why in a way that talks to the slides, not going line by line. Otherwise, we are going to have a severe time constraint. And a couple that straight afterwards we are dealing with the annual report, you will then deal with graph 103, so that when the members engage, they engage both documents, human resource issues as well as the AG issues, and how we are going to be dealing with those as a department. Let me hand it over to we should be through by quarter past 12 with the presentation, quarter past 12 at least. Let us try to do that.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chair, and good morning to Honorable Members. And also, we were here last time, except for two DVGs who are not here, but they will skip them the introduction, except for DVG Kiyokhine, who is responsible for interpreted government. I tried looking at the time to see what slides we can maybe zoom in, and that maybe we'll start and skip all the others. And so that slide indicates the performance of the department. In total, the department has started 71, and then 52 were achieved, translating 73%, and then 27%, which is 19, were not achieved. And then we move to just this is a comparative analysis per program, but also against the budget to say how many targets were achieved and spending what percentage of the budget. So if you look at administration, it will talk to 53% of the targets were achieved, and then 92% of the budget was spent. Institutional governance and 63 targets, percentage of targets achieved, but only 80 and budget was spent. The another area then of concern was the heritage promotion and preservation, where 99% of the budget was spent, but 61% of targets achieved. As the minister indicated, that there were some diversions of some of the budgets to address urgent matters. So we will skip slide 10 and go to slide 11. Slide 11 just talks to overview then of what also minister has already spoken. So I will just indicate that these were the reasons why we believe the performance has improved over the past 3 years, and in particular with the issues of adhering to the guidelines on strategic planning, the basic principles of SMART. SMART principles refers to the fact that then your objectives, when you plan them, you test them on whether they are achievable, they are measurable, are they specific enough, but also are they time bound so that you are able to achieve them. So that is what we believe and contributed to the improved performance. But also that if you look at the next slide, which is slide 12, there is just an emphasis there of why we compare budget against the target. And we are saying that some of the targets, while they were partially achieved, but there were challenges that arose during the execution of our task. The minister has spoken about the biggest challenge of nation building, as well as social cohesion. Therefore, then, when these things that you have not planned for, you can't ignore them. One protest or issues arose, must fall, arose, but also there was a pending serious challenge in KZN between the foreigners and the nationals, and all these things require diversion of our progress, which then impact on budget, and even if you had not included those targets on the APP. But also program, one minister has spoken to that, so I will skip. But we just want to indicate that 100% of the library grants was transferred to the provinces to ensure that they are able to go on with that program. The white paper review was critical, and we continued with the consultation throughout the country in all provinces. The government also shown that the finances are improving. I think minister spoke to that. We will can then go straight to slide 16. And if Honorable Chair will allow me to just explain why we thought the other slides are not not pressing for us to present. But what we did, all these presentations, we then said what are the areas that the members might be interested in about their provinces, just to tailor make. And so that you can see whether the provinces are being serviced or not through this annual purpose plan. So slide 16, and while we agreed on the topic, but if you look at the bullet talking to number of community conversations that were held, and we can just click there, it will show where they took place, in which provinces. So it outlines that this took place Western Cape 4, Eastern Cape 5, KwaZulu-Natal 4, and Northwest 4, Northern Cape 4, Mpumalanga 3, Gauteng, and then was 4, and Free State at 3. We were just highlighting some of the targets as you indicated.
Which means that this is something.
You see, you are the same.
It's not the same. It's right.
Oh, the
Slide 8, according to
you can't decline the I said that you want to be there is two in
no,
one.
No, 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 we are wrong.
It's page eight, like this thing.
I can only click on a because it's just to show what happened in which province.
Yeah.
But in the documents that you have, electronic ones, that's when you can be able to click and show. So when we go to slide 19, and Honorable Chair, and that slide emphasizes the number of domains in which terminologies are developed. Terminology developed in the domains, that is in other words, information, communication, technology, human, social, economic, and management sciences. We're saying here the terminology that we have developed in the four domains included 800 ICT terminologies that were developed, 500 of them, HSMEM terminologies, but also 400 on relating to financial terminologies, 800 pharmaceuticals. We know this is important because sometimes the issue of the terminologies and how we deal with the areas of information and developing language becomes a problem, and people do not focus on that. And if you look at the translations also that were done, 100% of them were done by the unit concerned. The slide that has more of the members will have to look at the screen when I double click. I like 20 honorable members. When you look at that slide, it talks to number of access platforms supported financially. In other words, what were the flagships and regional festivals that took place? We are reporting that 27 of them took place. And the department. So if honorable members want the breakdown in which province, that is when we will then go to that. On paper and
not when you see
on paper, honorable chair, it's there. It gathered it towards the end.
Yeah.
It's towards the end and the key
highlight. When you want to ask have a look at the provinces, you double click and then you see the provinces.
Yeah.
Oh, we are not that technically. Now, direct us properly when to look at the pamphlet and when to look at the screen. But next time, please assist us as to reflect it in writing on the presentation of the
yes, because it is there on the document, but it doesn't it is under key highlights.
Oh.
Yes. It will go to the document itself under key highlights. There are those lines that then give the breakdown performance.
At least you have the information.
Yes, it's on the document. Maybe I should not double click and just and then on the issue of the number of artists placed in schools, we had a target of 340, which was exceeded by 342 artists were placed in schools. And then of course 300 schools that needed to participate, 321 schools did participate in the artists in schools program. And then number of public art projects, where target was 20 and 20 of them were achieved. Then on the next slide, Honorable Chair, the community arts programs that were supported by the department, it was 150 as per the target. But because of time, Honorable Chair, just on the number of bursaries, that might be critical to say how do we invest in arts and culture, particularly on human development. The department had a target of 320 language libraries targeted and 445 language libraries were awarded. Again, the document and the breakdown is there, the province, on how many bursaries were allocated.
Mm-hmm.
And then on the issue of the 5% it is in the baseline of the number of beneficiaries for training as well as development. 61.64% increase was achieved. On the number of beneficiaries on training and development initiatives. Slide 22, maybe that which will might be of greater interest to the members, is about the issue of the flags. here we're talking about 100,000 flags that were to be distributed in Poland too, and that those are the handheld flags that people can hold with pride about their identity. And 145,000 flags were distributed, and then on the issue of the AU flag installations in the different sides of government, particularly in schools, we targeted 500 and 504 were then distributed. If you honorable members want to see, check us in which how many in which province, then it is on the slide, but I would double check. And then of course, who are the living human treasures that were identified, also we'll see that at the breakdown care problem. Honorable Chair indicated that most of time maybe we must then move to those targets that were not achieved.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe that is where we should move to slide 26A. That slide then gives breakdown, as we indicated earlier, that the targets that were not achieved were 19, and we then broke them down under which program were the targets not achieved.
Mm-hmm.
So, under heritage and preservation and promotion, 7 targets were not achieved. The branch had 19 targets. And then under administration, the 7 also not achieved out of their 19. Under target promotion, didn't achieve 3, as well as institutional governance did not achieve 2. That gives a total for the year 19. These are the breakdown of targets not achieved that we have mentioned. So under administration, one of them was the issue of the cleanup that we did not achieve, but we did not give this because the CFO was talking to us in the chair. But we are working on that issue. The only analysis we can provide is that if we see year 2015-16, it's mainly because that is the year in which then the auditor talks to you in 16-17.
Mm-hmm.
So that is a year lag behind. And that is why he talks for 15-16. Not having achieved a clean audit, but still got the unqualified audit. And then 97% of annual budget was spent instead of 100%. The variance there is in relation to the 105 million rand, which contributes to 2.6% of unspent funds due to the under expenditure on the compensation of goods and services. And the rationale behind this challenge, Honorable Chairperson, is that the department has a ceiling in which, due to budgetary constraints, we needed to make sure that in the following year you do not exceed that compensation. Now, compensation of employees have got a capital effect. If you fill the post now, that is permanent. You cannot say next year we are told we must remain within 10 rand, therefore you are now being retrenched. So, to be proactive, you need to avoid appointing if you know that as you do projection, you will go beyond the ceiling that the National Treasury has set. That is the reason why the department then did not spend the whole amount of money on goods and services to fill the post where people might be vacated. And if we look at the percentage of staff with disabilities, and the challenge here, Honorable Chair, is that the department is set a target for itself to be 5%. Yet the target by government nationally is 2%. So we became highly determined that we will recruit more people with disabilities. We set the target then higher than the national norm.
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, while we are within the national norm, but we are not within our norm. And that is why the target is not achieved. But it doesn't mean the department has not achieved the national norm. And then on the issue of the payments within 30 days, there were challenges there, Honorable Chair, around the payment of within 30 days. But this was mainly around receiving the invoices. But don't you find that there is a challenge with the detail of the supplier, which might either differ with what was submitted on the original document, like the banking account. Then when the attempt is being made to defer the payment, we'll find that the account has changed. And that then affected the However, what we have also put in place now is to make sure that we've got the invoice tracking mechanism. Because the understanding is that if you don't pay small business and medium business, you will make them go under. Or if you pay them after they've made several calls, visited you in the office to find out their money, by the time you pay them, a lot of money that they were supposed to make as profit is gone by just a follow-up mechanism. So we needed to make sure that we create a tracking mechanism for us to monitor end-to-end processes, that when we receive the invoice, how long it takes to certify it. Thereafter, how long should it take for payment to be made. So that is what we are doing now. And that system, we got it from the state that pay, because we had to learn from how they were doing it, state that pay. And then on the social compact convention, six sector consultations were convened in the reporting period, and the social convention was not hosted as planned due to conflicting schedules. Therefore, then this target was not achieved. The councils, we only had one major problem with Pencil Board, and where it had to be dissolved, and then the Central Board, where they challenged us, but we can report here that finding by the court in favor of the department, that the department was correct to dissolve that council. So now we are in the process of constituting the board. And then the number of artists in schools and number of artists and organizations provided with work opportunities. This was about work creation. The honorable members raised the issue that is one of the contributions. And Minister Stowe spoke about the 2.9% GDP. Now, to do that, you need to fight poverty and unemployment by creating job opportunities through the project. Unfortunately, the target we had set for ourselves was 15,000, when we could only achieve just half of that, 7,590. That we looked at the root causes for that, and it was clear that when projects are submitted, there was no proper analysis on what informs these figures, and we didn't have a baseline at that time to say this project can generate so many. As a result, people would submit the business plan because this is implemented at a local level, only to find that when it comes to them to do the work, they do not create the jobs they had committed. So now we said we will have to make it mandatory that people, when they give us that they will do a project with 80 job opportunities, that in their business plan and motivation, we are clear feasibly, based on feasibility, how exactly they intend to do the rather to accept it just like that. And then monitor whether when they implement the project, are those jobs there. And then they show the 7 community art centers refurbished. This constitutes 47% achievement against the set target. Because it's 50, and that is a problem. Some provinces were unable to find the agencies to implement refurbishment projects, and therefore then that meant that the community arts centers could not be refurbished, only 7 out of 15. So we are now creating what we call a project management approach, even at national, to monitor whether these centers really do get done, because when they are not being refurbished, how do then communities access such a center? It affects on exactly the direct service delivery that should be happening at local level. And then on slide 34, there were issues there about the white paper. We thought we need to make sure that we present it. All the white paper, but also the museum policy of South Africa and library information services bills. The reasons there were mainly that when we planned these policies that they will eventually be legislated, at that time there was no filtering of the issue of socioeconomic impact assessment. Now, government cabinet does not consider any proposed bill or legislation if you have not received from the DPMA a certificate indicating that you have done the impact, social economic impact assessment. and that took longer than we anticipated, but also the conservation processes themselves. So that is why those bills could not be legislated. And then, of course, the issue of the national symbols, toolkit to schools, and we had targeted 6,450. Unfortunately, we did 6,115, and there were challenges in relation to the distribution model that was the delivery monitoring mechanisms to say where these, so some of them, even if they were delivered, accountability of the schools to say exactly how many did they distribute was quite difficult. So working with Department of Basic Education, and we have agreed on the model to monitor whatever we deliver in schools per district, so that then we can monitor that the toolkits that we provide are indeed reaching schools and they are accounted for. The minister spoke about the liberation heritage route, online mapping application, and we think that pilot would have been done. Unfortunately, this was not done. The service level agreement with the state that our services signed on the 24th of January 2017. While two meetings were held with the service provider, and that on the 3rd of February and on the 8th of March, but the project scope of work and roadmap has been developed, but the pilot had not yet happened. Failure to appoint service provider on time was the one that impacted on the project timeline. The service provider, however, has since been appointed, and the department has received the full support of the project at the time of preparing it. Then slide 35, number of library materials, which is quite difficult for schools, but also for communities to access libraries that are not quite elephants. We had the target of 410,000 materials, 401,007 materials were provided, and that is in 98%. The following provinces: Eastern Cape, and a directive was issued media to change the way of procuring the books, and this approach delayed the procurement of such materials. We will then support the provinces going forward to streamline their processes of procurement to ensure that things are timely, both in terms of procuring and delivery to the libraries. Number of libraries upgraded, we had a challenge there for the 43 instead of 55. There were challenges around Limpopo as well as Mpumalanga provinces, where some of the maintenance projects were there and were cancelled due to the limited funds that they said were allocated to this project. Some of the projects in Gauteng will be reported as soon as they have been completed in the first quarter of the new financial year. So here again, the question about skills, capability to interrogate thoroughly those commitments made on the business plan is what we need to strengthen, and what we're going to be working on as a government, so that when the target is put here, while the dependency is within the province, we are certain that it is executional and within the timeline set. Chair, the last one was slide 36. Which talks to the infrastructure projects implemented. And here, this talks to the three heritages, one and then one archive, which are mainly Sarah Batman National Monument, Winnie Mandela House, as well as the one is the archives that deals with the issue from currently around the issues of making sure that accounts and information. So then there were six heritage infrastructure projects that were conceptualized and initiated. Those were referring to the famous Nyogeni matter, J.L. Dube, Omede Sandwana, and O.R. Tango Heroes 8. The projects that were achieved, and the challenges with this, achieving this project, we explained that the National Heritage Monument was holded pending the outcome of the investigation, while no implementation took place on the Nyogeni, J.L. Dube, or Tango projects, as the contract between ourselves and the implementing agency had to be cancelled due to performance issues. But also the Heroes Acre project awaits a response from the city of Swane on the lease of the land, although there has been intervention here by the minister and the deputy minister to engage with the municipality itself to unblock anything that might be challenged. Then on the issue of the statue of Achikumede in the Thekwini municipality, the metro, and the approval of the new site identified by the assembly, there was just a debate about the reallocation on those. But there are engagements in relation to this to try and resolve the matter and engaging the Kumede family. Chair, I will then ask the CFO to just talk to the money matter.
Yeah, thank you, Honorable Chair and Honorable Members. On the first slide, it's just a highlight in terms of the trend of the audit outcome. As you can see that in 2018, there was an unqualified, however, in 2018 and 2014, we received a qualified report. And as the DG indicated and the minister, there's improvement added in 14 and 15, so we've been remaining at an unqualified report, and we are putting a lot of effort to reach a clean audit. And these are the reasons why in the 16-17 our audit outcome was unqualified, but as indicated, there were some issues that the AG raised. And these are the seven issues that they raised: misstatement in the financial statement, non-compliance with regulations, inadequate system to prevent irregular expenditure, procurement and contract management were inadequate, and there were some findings on the performance or the predetermined objective. And then the AG is concerned that the implementation of consequent management is not yet effective. I will skip this slide because they give the details of the audit findings and just go into the next slide where it shows you, comparing the previous years, how the improvements are happening that were implemented in terms of control measurement. If you look in the previous financial year, the findings were on the financial statement were 25. However, in this year, under review, it was only 7 findings. And then there was an adjustment done to the financial statement. There were 22 transactions that have to be corrected. And the current year under review, only 5. And this adjustment amounted to 628 million in the previous financial year. In the year under review, only 436. Then we also look at the incidence of irregular expenditure, chairperson and members. If you look there, you can see the previous financial year irregular expenditure amounted to 111 million. And then we, with the controls measures implemented, we reduced it to 15 million. So there was a reduction in terms of the. If you look at the number of transactions of irregular, there were 426. In the previous financial year, and we have reduced them to 117, and it's still a work in progress. So this slide is the details of the findings. We will skip those slides and go to slide where we see the actual spending at the highlight. If we go to slide 49. Here, this slide gives you a broad overview of how the department performed in terms of the budget, which the allocation was 4 billion and the department was able to spend 3.9 billion. As indicated that there was an underspending, and the DG did provide a reason for why that 105 million was not spent, of which is about 2.6% underspending. This is just a graphical overview. However, slide 51 give you the details where you can see where was the actual understanding in terms of the economic classification of items. And you can see there 11 million was for compensation and 12 million was for goods and services. And you can see that other items, including non-profit institutions, there was a 40 million there, and building and fixed structures, 21. I'm just highlighting the bigger amount on the slide. So basically, this slide 54 gives you the reason on underpinning on compensation, that this was caused by a vacant pool that the department could not see and commit in the 16-17 financial year, given the risk that the over expenditure on the compensation budget will happen in the following financial year if those pools are filled. If you go to the next slide, it will give a brief summary on the underpinning on goods and services for that balance of 12 million, where you can see that it mainly due to the reallocation of funds by processing journal for office accommodation, which was initially paid in goods and services, but then it was shifted to the transfers. And also because the user asset management plan was not completed in time to assist the department to perform the repair and maintenance in the ATT infrastructure. On slide 56, members, you can see there it is what we transfer to the provinces, and we transfer the whole amount to the provinces, and all the 1.3 billion was sent to the provinces. The next slide just gives an allocation that were transferred to our public entities, and I think on the financial statement, if I'm allowed, I can go to the graph and move to the chapter.
Yes.
I'm going to just give a little background and talk about the entities affected by graphanus 3 and talk about stakeholder engagement and then what is the impact of graphanus 3 on the audit outcome. Firstly, Chairperson, the purpose of the presentation is to brief the Select Committee on Education and Recreation on the graphanus 3 and how it affects the DAT associated entities. The Accounting Standard Board has introduced the Graph 103, and this is applicable to public entities in the art and culture sector. This is an accounting standard that prescribes the uniform accounting for classifying and recording of heritage assets, and it also regulates the disclosure requirements of the heritage asset. So therefore, this requires that the entities must have a policy on how they will handle heritage assets. And they also have to compile asset registers where they will record all their heritage assets. And furthermore, they are supposed to assign the values for each and every asset. Chairperson, in some of our museums, we have got assets like and vocals. So they need to record such assets in their asset register. And where possible, they need to input the values of those particular assets in there. That is how difficult it is. I'm just giving you one of the examples. That's how difficult the dealing with the requirement of Graph 103. So the other question is that out of these 25 entities, which ones are affected by the Graph 103? This is a list of the entities that are affected by Graph 103. Your National English, literary museum, your William Humphrey, your Ezekiel Museum, all those museums. You have also got your South African Heritage Resource Agency, Freedom Park, and in the libraries of what we are, National Library of South Africa. So what did the department do to assist the entity to comply with these requirements? So what we did was that the department, the entities, we requested them to compile a progress report and indicate the challenges that they experienced in implementation of the Graph 103. And at the same time, because we realized that there was a challenge, we also requested the National Treasury to provide technical and financial assistance in order for the entities to implement Graph 103. Just to give an example, Chairperson, is that when compiling these registers and recording this particular asset, you need additional resources, people who will go out on the storages, leave those particular assets and attach values to them. So that was a challenge to say the entities do not have the funding to implement such a requirement. And when we did some workshops and facilitation, we found that in the whole sector we needed about 205 million to implement this across all the entities. And it was very difficult for the entities to comply with this particular standard. Firstly, we wanted the financial resources to be able to implement this Graph 103. However, some of the entities, they did realign their budget and implemented. Only few of them were able to do that. But those are the ones which have few assets. If you take, for example, Freedom Park, they've got only mainly your pictures and so on. But if you go to your museum, Chairperson, you can imagine the number of things that the museums are keeping. So it was really going to be very difficult for them to comply with the standards. So what did the department do? So we asked National Treasury also, I'm not going to go through the slides because of time, but I'll explain, Chairperson, that because of the time that we were given to comply, we requested an exemption from National Treasury so that when the Auditor General audits the books of the entity, they must exempt presenting an opinion in regards to Graph 103. And the National Treasury did approve that particular request. But however, as the Auditor General was going around and auditing this particular item, because if the standard is placed on the Accounting Standard Board requirement, the Auditor General says he's going to audit and express fair presentation of financial statements.
Yeah.
So then the problem was that some of the assets did not have values and they cannot verify those particular values. Mm-hmm. So the AG said, no, but my way is to express an opinion about how fairly are you presenting the asset. And now you tell me that Treasury have approved an exemption. Well, it's fine, I see the exemption, but in my report, I'm issuing an independent report to say, I have seen that the assets are there, but the values does not fairly present the status of the heritage asset. So that was a very big problem, and we met with the AG in many meetings, but we were unable to get a positive outcome. Our entities, historically, most of them were getting clean audit reports. But since the implementation of Graph 103, they started performing badly because of the requirement of Graph 103. And this also affected because we immediately received a negative audit opinion. The readers there, sometimes they don't read what are the reasons for the they just associate it with weak management structures and so on. And some of our entities were unable even to attract other funding sources because of their Graph 103. So currently, what is the department doing? Because the Accounting Standards Board, which is the body that finalizes the accounting or the requirements of disclosure, we've been struggling to get hold of the responsible officials, but at least last week, whilst we were still here presenting to the committee with other reports, we were able to obtain an appointment for 24th of January next year, where we're going to meet with the National Treasury together with the Accounting Standards Board. The reason for our meeting is that we want to compile the inventory of what we have in our museums and our entities. We want to know. We agree that we must have the receipt. But the challenge is the valuation. How do you say a value of an insect industry is 10 rand? How are you? So she said we need an exemption so that some of these items we don't have to attach value. But where an artifact or a collection has been bought, it's easy because the invoice will tell us what is the value of that particular item. But where other items have just been inherited from the previous regimes that we have taken over from the museum, we need to come to a common ground on how we agree in terms of those values. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you for the presentation of both the departmental report and graph 103 and the problem that we are faced with even this graph 103. But one cherishes the hope that in your meeting with Treasury and the board that you are referring to, we are going to come to an agreement that is going to see the exemption that we have being effected, because really I cannot begin to fathom how do you value a locust, a dried locust in a shell,
yeah,
or a dried snake, mm-hmm, whatever, how do you attach value to it? It's a bit complicated. So I want to believe that that exemption is going to assist in terms of not affecting the audit outcomes of those entities. Honourable members, the report, annual report, has been presented as well as graph 103. It's your opportunity now to engage. You just indicate your engagement as to whether it is graph 103 or the annual report of the department, taking into account that some of the issues have already been covered by both the Minister and the DG, but Deputy Minister Soju is here in case there are issues that would require political response. Honourable Zamin, Honourable Mampuru.
Thank you very much, Honourable Chair. Let me welcome the presentation from the DG and the CFO. I was wondering whether UDG was not doing part-time Malay department while working for Home Affairs. The way he knows issues of has been there for quite a long time. We really appreciate that.
Maybe he was moonlighting.
I was asking myself, on the first slide, that was on the pie chart one, I was talking about the expenditure achievements. Let me just talk about the whole report. I really appreciate the manner in which they are presenting the report. It's what you expect. Because where they did not achieve, they did not achieve. There's no in-between. Because if you have not achieved, you have not achieved. And on that one, the expenditure does not speak to Okay, we fly to Sterling. On flight 9, administration, non-achievements 53%, expenditures 92%. One would like to be clarified which, what was, especially in administration. You agree with other things that there might have been some disasters or whatever, but in administration, the difference is too huge. Where was the money used and why such a deviation? I like institutional governance almost the same, only 3% difference. That's what one would expect. But also under the last one, heritage promotion and preservation, huge difference, deviation there. One would want to be clarified, but also the percentage of achievement, 73%, as much as I know that under partially achieved there was money spent, but it's 73%, you can do better than this. Chairperson, sometimes we are conflicted by the fact that we don't meet as often with the department. We go around and do our oversight, and we don't find space in between to raise those issues. We went to Mpumalanga early this year. Issa Moram Machel monument, very small. It's even just difficult to move around in it. And given the leader that monument is named after, not named, was built after, because we all know the reason. If the department could look at, I'm saying it because we're moving towards planning now, if the department could consider making that site or monument bigger than what it is. If you come as a group, it's difficult to move there. And also the access to the, I don't know what you call this, wreckage, the actual plane where it is down there, some people may not be able to access the manner in which the monument is built. And you have to go downstairs, come up, maybe there must be a way of making it accessible. The important issue there, the investigation, was not finalized. The people want to know who killed Samora Machel. What happened? Okay, they're saying it's an accident. Was it really an accident? If the investigation could be finalized so that people could close that chapter, correct or not, but if the investigation is finalized, at least people will know that the investigation was finalized. The issue of yesterday I saw Blue Edge. There's a Nelson Mandela Heritage Center. I don't know if you know about it. It's Alexandra. $7 million was spent. It's a house which, when the former president arrived in Joburg, he rented a room behind a back room house in Alexandra, when he was still working as a security. So they tried to develop it. Money was spent, but up to now it was not used. According to that paper, I don't usually believe on papers, but the picture was there. It was not used 13 years down the line, not used because there was no electricity connected. Just that lousy reason. If it is part of your project that you ever contributed, could we follow it up? Even if you have not, but considering the name of the person behind and the reason, let's check that a property and see what is it that department can do. If Freedom Charter Chair, Freedom Park We went to Singapore as a study tour of the committee. They indicated that they did visit, and they really appreciate it. But we feel that if we can, the department can also visit Singapore, the center that they have, we can make a maximum use of that center there. It's very interactive, very live, the one that we saw at Singapore. If there could be an exchange experience with Singapore. And Bombay Library is the main library in Mpumalanga. But the furniture there, Yale for Paul Kruger, most important is the system. I don't know how long now. They say it's more than a year. It has not been working. They buy a book. They don't even record. They just record them by hand because this system was stopped. It looks like there's a national system that you're using or provincial system. But it was stopped because they wanted to appoint another company and it did not work. There was a dispute. As a result, they are left with no system. When people come looking for a book, they can't even attend because they don't know where to find the book. They receive new books that are not recorded. And many other libraries around there, they are under that library, meaning that all of them are affected. They just give the books away without recording them because the system is not working. I know they are managed, the municipality has got a role, the province has got a role, but if you could look at that, especially the issue of a system, and the at least renovation of that library is very much backward. I will be given a name of a sun monument because each time I meet with you, I talk about it. It's because I still hear the voices of those people who are there when they spoke about their monument at Still Bay. One would appreciate, Chair, if you come with your plan this year, we see that. Otherwise, will be people who just go and visit them and nothing happens. The transfers to provinces, I don't know whether you are able to monitor it. I'm linking that, Chair, with what we saw. What is Northern Cape or Free State, where the theatre was built, a lot of money was used, but you cannot show. No, we don't have the theater in Mpumalanga. You can't account for the money that was used, especially because the province used money, a lot of money, and nationally used money. But when you come to the project itself, you can't see the money that was used there. In KwaZulu-Natal, I saw a beautiful theater. Beautiful. We really appreciate the good work that is being done. We appreciate it, and one would wish to have a similar thing, especially in my beautiful province, Mpumalanga. We don't have a theater. Is it what?
Playhouse.
I don't know what you call it, whatever it is. Mm-hmm. If we could have something like that in Mpumalanga, because Mpumalanga are very active people. They will make use of that. We don't have something like that, of that nature. Anything bigger than 500 people, in fact it's 250 from there, you can't do anything beyond that. But also the activities, Chair, that are done in that playhouse. And the there, Chair, in the Konza Mountain, maybe you talk about it when you come. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you. This is precisely the reason why when we engage the report of the department, I do receive for people to raise issues outside of the departmental report because we don't meet often.
Mm-hmm.
Once they've come and gone, you've missed an opportunity. When next are we going to meet? You're going to meet next when they present the APT.
Mm-hmm.
and some of other issues with the polling in between the sites. Honorable Maburu.
Thank you, Chairperson. Let me join on the presentation. Chairperson, I once asked a question about the Mapungu region site, whether is there value for money? Because up to where I am, I said, why can't the department maybe take that responsibility to the province? Something like that. During the provincial week, we went to the border of Botswana via Mfula. We used that road that leads to Mapungu. We used the road that goes and on road from the toll gate, the base bridge. Then turn to your left, that's if you're going to Old Age. That's where the road leads to Mapungu. You go there, the road is very horrible. But when you talk to the municipality about these things, to say, what is your role in terms of seeing that this road can be fixed? They tell you, no, this is a national competence and that's what they can do. You talk about the maintenance, it's national competency. Then what is your role? We're folding our arms, there's nothing that we can do. Then why? Why are we having this size, whereas we are able maybe to assist where it is necessary? And Mosina is likely to grow economically. Maybe that site might assist the area of Mosina or the province, because we have people who go there, visit there, we charge them some fees, they go inside, and they do some measures, weddings, whatever they want to do. But if we identify sites and we neglect them, then why are we identifying them? And I asked a question about Jade Heritage also. Nothing is happening there. Now I don't know what is happening. You asked the municipality, what are you doing with the things? I tell you these other stories that you don't understand. With Jade, Jade Mapungu, I'm very proud because that's where I come from. I can't have identified sites and be left to decay, maybe. And then we neglect them. Let me tell you, Honorable Lamini, we went to Malanga, but we wanted to go and see a museum in the Kruger National Park. Access was very difficult because they say it belongs to, I mean, the Kruger belongs to the Tourism for Environmental Affairs.
Environmental Affairs.
You see these things. So we're able to see that museum because of that. I don't know what is the best mechanism. Maybe from us as a community, this is a community, from us as a community, to write letters to you to indicate that we're going to, we have identified this site. How best can you interact with the relevant departments maybe to allow us access to go and see that? We couldn't because of that integration. Nonetheless, let me congratulate the provinces. With the conditional grants that they proceed, they can see they spend 100%, but the question is, is there value for money? Thank you very much.
Any other honorable members to raise that issue? Come back to you, honorable
members. On the Kruger National Park one, in fact, the person we spoke to, he indicated that there are a number of heritage sites inside Kruger National Park. But now, I think what Honorable Mumpuru is saying that there must be, we don't know how to coordinate that when we go there, because we missed that, because all that park belongs to another department. One will want to know which of those sites and what is happening in those sites.
Let me hand over to you, DG, and your team to answer the question. From my side, I've been covered last by the members. But it is these artists in schools, if I may know, what exactly are they doing there? Are they complementing the curriculum of schools insofar as art and culture is concerned? Or or they are doing something else as prescribed by the Department of Arts and Culture. My issue also is I didn't get explanation, did you, with regards to the matters raised by the Auditor General, where I don't see consequence management on the issues where the regulations of Treasury are not followed by some of the officials. I would like to know what measures are in place to ensure that that is properly attended to. We have got 512 posts, 468 of those are filled. 96 of them are contract posts, but there's quite a heightened number of staff. I don't know why it is that the staff are leaving the department. I don't know whether it is for greener pastures or what, but I would like to know. Is there something that I didn't quite understand? In a document on page on the report page 78. Some of them have left as a result of expiry of contracts. But you say it's left permanent. Can you explain that contract and being permanent? To me it doesn't draw enough light. Those are the issues that I wanted to raise, which is dependent on point.
No, thank you very much, Honorable Chair and Honorable Members. Can I, Honorable Chair, be around for the big TV?
Yes. Mm-hmm. It's your workload. Don't carry alone. Because they don't share with you their salary.
So maybe can I ask, because the CFO seems to have a lot of things about expenditure, and even the last question also is linked to that, but also the DDG dealing with the departments and human resource, and that is all in relation to the force and my assist, and then the heritage sites, and also can I ask the colleagues, but we'll be straight to the point and also of time constraints. So diligence
has to fall. I'm sorry, DG, just one last issue. The issue of pencil. The board was disintegrated and the directive of the minister, the matter is subjudicated. It's finalized.
Yeah.
When do you have the board now?
The process.
You are processing, yeah. The appointment.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Thank you.
Honorable members, in terms of the budget and expenditure and the APP,
okay,
there are other items which are not on the APP but are on the operational plane, especially if you look at program one, which is the administration. For example, the building where we occupy is not linked to APP, but we need to pay rental every month. You've got your support, your IT support is in that branch. So you need to give people computers, all the tools of trade that they need to use, but they are not linked to APP. Hence, in terms of the performance, in most cases, it might seem that we are spending money but not performing. But those are other operational requirements that the support function needs to avail for the whole department.
Thank you, Jack. I think in terms of the high staff turnover, I think what we're seeing there is that the reason is all the contracts that we've in fact terminated, and that's why it will reflect like that. Because unfortunately, I was trying to look if I've got the in terms of the figures, but most of the time people would leave because of retirement, and we've got people who also were deceased, and we've got the contracts which were terminated, and I'm just trying to give the reasons why would people leave, why people left. and some of them is because of promotion, some is career development, or, you know, people are not, in terms of the working environment that they work in, they find that they are not comfortable with that and they leave, and some people were because of personal aspirations. Mm-hmm. I wish I could just, you know, give those details in terms of the contrast and the permanent people who left. But most of our terminations is due to the contract that that we did not renew.
Before heritage takes in, but I think I was supposed also to give you the issue of consequent management, because it's related to the weakness in internal control and what are we doing in order to cap irregular expenditure and also as well as your fruitless expenditure. Was that what the department did was to identify the officials that made that irregular or fruitless expenditure happen, and there was a process that we have taken, which was to write to them the letters to explain why if it's fruitless, why must we not recover from them, and if it's irregular, why disciplinary action should not be taken against those officials. There is a task team that was addressing that, and they received responses from the affected officials, and then from the responses, we could make a recommendation to the accounting officer. In some cases, we are recommending that we must recover the expenditure. And in some cases where it was not possible for them, especially with fruitless expenditure, to cancel that particular event on time. And because of the reason that they advanced, and we can see that it was beyond the official control, we are recommending that it must be written off. And in some cases where officials, we can see it was due to negligence, we are recommending that further disciplinary steps be taken against them, like issuing them final written warnings and so on. Thank you.
thank you, Chairperson and the members. I will just start with the letter of Samora Mashe Monument. Just to say that there is already a plan of actually looking at Samora Mashe. I think the issue of Samora Mashe also came up when we were doing the 40th anniversary in 2016. Because the building that was done by the province, it seems not to be having that integrity, structural integrity. So already the working with the DPW, we are looking at whether it still can be renovated, or we need to look at a totally different kind of infrastructure. So there is already thinking around Samora Mashe. Of course, taking cognizance of the stature of the leader that we're talking about, the icon that we're talking about. The issue of Mbombela Library, Chairperson, we will have to follow up on that, because we provide conditional grant to provinces. And that particular conditional grant is actually meant to build new libraries. It's meant to do upgrading of existing infrastructure. It's also meant to ensure that the ICT is actually up to standard. Now, one will have to follow up, because we would expect, if the province has got a problem in terms of their business planning, and I'm glad that it's happening now, when everybody is dealing with strategic planning and business planning, because those are the things that they need to factor in as they present their proposals to the department, so that they deal with those particular issues. Then the issue of Mapungubwe, all the World Heritage Sites, let me just put it like that, all the World Heritage Sites are actually under the control of the Department of Environment. In fact, they are governed in terms of the World Heritage Convention Act of 1999. But it doesn't extricate us from the challenges that could be there, because there is a coordinating committee which I think we can present this matter. There's a South African World Heritage Convention Committee, which is meant to coordinate the management of World Heritage, where as a department it sits. But the leadership, of course, is provided by the
environmental affairs. So yeah, I'm saying we will take that matter and locate it within that particular space because it was meant for that. And then the issue of Jate heritage, Honorable. This is one of the sites that were identified by the province as one of the three sites associated with resistance and the liberation heritage route. Currently, we are working with provinces because we indicated that as a national department, what we would be able to do, we'll be able to release resources to provinces when they have got business plans and clear time frames in terms of how they're going to be managing all these particular projects. So that's where things are. So it's also that responsibility that we are trying to assist the provinces with. I mean, wide range of sites that have been identified by provinces that are subjected to this business planning process.
Okay.
Now, the heritage sites in Kruger, that's another very intricate part. But I just think that maybe it's one of the things that we need to ask our South African Heritage Resources Agency to work with SANPARK, because the Kruger National Park, it's under the overall umbrella of SANPARK. And of course, to actually identify sites there, we need an agency like SARA to be able to then do a bit of an audit in terms of what are those sites, because sites were degraded in terms of your first grade sites, second grade, third grade, and of course SARA will then be responsible for grade one sites, which are of national significance. So those are the kinds of things that may be as part of the responsibility that we carry out with this meeting. Mandela, one, you are right, Honorable Member, that it is not necessarily within the purview of the department. It's within the purview, if I'm not mistaken, local government is not the province. But we do take heed of your call to say, by virtue of the name, we might then just be ones to follow up and understand what the problems are, if there is anything that we can do maybe to support either the province or the or local government, we do the best that we can on the particular area. Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Chair and Honorable Members. I think I'm going to take the Northern Cape Theatre, as I was in Northern Cape with the members of the committee. I think for us, we realize that when you transfer money to provinces, there's a tendency for them to use the money, you know, as they wish. I think there is the main challenge from us was the poor monitoring by our infrastructure development unit, that I must say. But subsequent to that, we've developed the infrastructure development policy as to how we deal with the infrastructure portfolio as we transfer money, whether to organizations that come to the department and to our entities, because we cannot transfer ones who still have not reported to us. And I think the main challenge was reporting. But I think for all of us, we take collective responsibility with the province so that theater is of the same stature like the other theaters that we have in the country. Though small, but we should, and I think the main thing also should be programming, so that when they have the theater, there should be programs in the theater. But I think for all of us, we try to let the theater be at the same standard as the other theaters. Yeah. But I think for us, there were those challenges in terms of monitoring. When after we transfer the funding to Northern Cape Theater. And I think the challenge is, Honorable Members realized that this was a long outstanding project that took more than like 6 years to be finalized, but the infrastructure policy now is in place to be able to line up as to how we utilize funding. Thank you.
There was a question on artists and schools later.
Thanks, DG, Honorable Chair, Honorable Members. With regard to the artists in schools program of the department, It encompasses both arts enrichment and curriculum support. So you would have activities like poetry, storytelling, music, photography, focus on literature, etc. So yes, in answer to that question, it does complement the curriculum, but it also does other things and offers, has cultural offerings for learners who would be interested as well in sort of the practical implementation of what they learn. But I also want to indicate that we have identified the need in the future to work towards common national workbooks for these artists in schools programs, because the implementation currently is done by service providers in each province that the province identifies, who then works with the artist and then creates programs and curricula out of that, which of course means that in different provinces, depending on the artist chosen, the emphasis will differ. So that gap is currently being closed because we're looking into the approach of a national support to the curriculum workbook that will enable us to do that. Dichi, with your permission, I also wanted to just identify the question around the Mpumalanga theatre, the possibility of a theatre in Mpumalanga that is on the same level or has the kind of activities which the Playhouse has, for instance, in KZN. And I wanted to just address it in a few ways, and that is firstly that the revised white paper that deals with, you know, arts, culture and heritage really is also looking into that question of whether those institutions that we call playhouses today that largely came out of the pre-94 period really suffices, or whether they're not ways and means in which we should address what needs to happen in every province as opposed to only those ones still being supported to the extent that they are supported. But it's not, but I want to also stress that it's not just what's in the white paper. Through the South African Cultural Observatory, there's also a new mapping study that's been done, which maps arts, culture, and heritage in all the provinces. So very important that when that comes out towards the end of the financial year, to look at really what we have on the ground, so that we can see where do we upscale so that they have those same kinds of activities. Do we take civic theatres and create out of them something bigger and better that could have a national footprint, which I'm posing as a question. But of course, and those who deal with infrastructure directly here can say that there's already a precedent being set, because I know that in Limpopo, work is starting towards a national theatre, or theatre, a formal theatre in Limpopo. So I do think there is hope, but you know, I think these different research work and our own strategies would be able to sort of reach the goal articulated by the Honourable Member. Thank you.
Thanks, Chair. Honourable Chair, maybe on the grant, we just want to emphasize that after Invasion Trader, the 200 million rand was provided for this year to try and resolve the challenges. Yeah, so we don't say we just complain, but no response. Trader did provide some money to assist in that regard. And then I think overall, Honourable Chair, the main issue that I said, we need to do an audit as a department about the status of all these sites. Which ones are ready, which ones are being utilized, which ones need intervention. Those will then get these surprises about the next thing. And then even if it's under the problem, doesn't matter is that those things are meant to be of utility value.
Mm-hmm.
And when people are not using them, then what's the use of spending millions on those? So we need to do that full audit to understand how best can these sites be of value to the country and to the work on that particular process. But then, on the issue of then the issues raised by the AG, and there is an audit action plan that was developed, and we intend to make sure we work on that and implement those remedial actions. On consequence management, we open up our officials, but also if we do the problem, and then it is that we will withhold money. We need to move to that level where we withhold money if people cannot use the money they intend. But you can't give those money to the entities or to the provinces if they cannot utilize that money. And also demonstrate that projects they are working on are getting completed. So we look at all those as part of consequence management, not just discipline. But I'm not sure, Chair, in terms of the whether the deputy minister would have anything to add on what we have said and the best concluding responses from the department. I don't know, dear.
Thank you very much, Chairperson and members of the CIS committee. This is my first meeting with yourselves. Coming from another environment and also being a member of parliament for so many years, being a chairperson of different committees for so many years, I know exactly what it is that this state committee needs from the department. And I must say that I am actually excited at the way from a very big department which controls 90 billion cents. And this department controls 4.4 billion. But it's very difficult to control 4.4. It's rather better to control 90 billion because of the vastness of this department. I've taken note of all the issues that have been raised by yourselves and also the response from the department. But I must say something on the issue of the public library. There is a serious challenge there, public libraries. Immediately after my appointment, I visited a few of those libraries because of the fact that funds are being transferred to the province, and the province are the ones that are supposed to look after the libraries. But I think where we are weak as the department, as DPG has said, I think DPG did not say that, is the issue of monitoring. We give funding, we don't monitor what is being done by those finances that we give to them. But what we did then in trying to address those challenges, I met with the CEO of the National Libraries. Then we have drawn a program that from January we will visit all the public libraries in the country, in all provinces. I have requested for a lead from provinces so that we can visit those libraries. So it's a lot of money that we are giving to the provinces. Because besides the money that has been given by the department, there were also some funds that came from other areas precisely for the libraries. One thing that were raised by honorable member Vanini was the issue of the Samora Machel investigation, where he said, you don't know what is happening there. Fortunately, I was the convener of that investigation from the environment where I come from. Unfortunately, the kind of report that I can give, I can't give in this meeting. It must first go to the NGO and to the president. But there is something that has been done there. That is among ourselves, the team that was working on that was a team from Mozambique and a team from South Africa. And I was the convener as a deputy minister then in the police there. I've also taken a note of the issue of benchmarking with Singapore, as you have proposed. I hope you have taken it so that we can try then and do that and see whether we can really benchmark with a person like those. Yeah, I think those are the issues that I thought maybe I should say something, because most of the things that they said are things that I have noted yet. Can I also then in closing say something about immunity? As you have correctly said that the portfolio committee, National Security Committee, they came back and they reached out to us and then I had to talk to the chairperson in order for us then to prepare ourselves. And then the NGO was saying that they want to meet with us tonight so that they can come up with a proposal coming from their findings. Because they want us to deal with this thing and come to this one. And they said that they've got a lot of suggestions and concrete proposals that they'd like to give to us tonight. And I think we wait for that, because then it will be for the first time that we meet with them, where they will give us then the report with what were the findings there, so that then we can take this process forward. But we are not saying that the select committee must just sit and wait for that. You've taken a decision on how you want to do it, you can do it. But one side also, we are not going to sit down and fold hands. That is something that we're starting, but we will not break you. Hence, at the beginning, I proposed for a joint such a group of the ANC. Because some of the information that you want here is not an information that I can give to you without giving to you as an agency. Just that alone. So thank you very much, Chairperson. I'm happy to be part of this collective. Thank you very much.
I joined the meeting at I would have to just consider where is the study committee today?
It's tonight after the sitting. What is the venue?
S35.
Okay. No. Let us go please. No, thank you very much for the briefing. Starting with the briefing by the minister. That was very captivating. And also your concluding remarks, the presentation by the department and the responses. Thank you very much. I think we've engaged very fruitfully. And moving forward, I think we are going to be able to create space, as we promised, to have an engagement where there are no formal presentations, but to engage on issues that you think are important. The Singapore issue that you have raised, I think that one, please attend to it. The size of Singapore is very small. It is a very small country, about 5 million. When you look at the center, the Singapore center, that you use it to benchmark, please take into account that probabilities are that in South Africa would have to have one in each of the provinces. Because another issue that is important here, the kind of patriotism that is instilled in children there at very young ages is going to give us very good dividend as well. If you can train our children in that fashion, they are not protected. It's now it's all day in and out of universities, day in and out. Because those children are trained from young ages that Singapore does not owe you anything, but you owe everything to Singapore as a citizen. So that is
those are the standards that they set to bring their children and nurture them. The playhouse. Everybody would love to have a playhouse like Durban. But I also am grieving for Durban because their playhouse is actually in the sea. It is in the sea. In the depth of the sea. And with these storms and tornadoes and everything, I don't know if one day you are not going to recover and only to find that the playhouse has been washed away by the sea. Those are the issues that we need to begin to think about, given the change in weather. I'm here to talk about the national workbooks for those artists in schools. Maybe it's going to formalize and standardize the approach that is being used. Monitoring and evaluating, DG, I cannot emphasize it more, because the whole issue of Winnie Mandela Museum, it's monitoring. And again, it's monitoring. And Methodist Museum, somewhere also in the Free State. It has been built, it is complete, but there is no material for people to be able to read the history. It is given to the house, it has not been finished. Now it's standing there as a white elephant because there are issues that have not been finalized. UGRAB 103, we are grateful that Treasury has made provision, but at least there is going to be a subsequent meeting to look into it. Business plans by provinces and representatives of provinces. We are going to encourage our provinces to submit business plans because they are not going to be given money if they can't account what it is going to be used for. I'm a heritage site. There is this inextricable link between heritage, tourism, environmental affairs. Maybe we are going to go to learn about it because we are the kind of a country that is thriving on tourism. That's one of our strengths in South Africa. Now, these sites are visited by people, also Osa Paramashel and many other sites are visited from the site now of tourism. And yet there are these other departments that are involved, and we need to have a working relationship that brings us all together to ensure that we maximize on our tourism as a country. I think we will shoot a DM. Let me thank you very much. And if I consider the vacancy, we are I already have plans, maybe
keep
on my behalf.
But if you plan, I don't think that it's going to be an offense for us to give you a report. This is what the NEC says. I mean the NA says they are going to do the study for or even yourself meeting with your counterpart. I don't think that can be such a big amount to make a young about it. Definitely get a report and maybe
I would really like to, but I have already made plans.
I understand.
I will try to get as much information as I possibly can about this issue because DM, I do want to say this. When the matter was before the committee, the reason why we suggested that it should be referred to school persons, we said the committee doesn't have capacity to deal with issues relating to investigation for finances and things like that. But at the start of the meeting, I did say that we need legal assistance in this regard because it has never happened before for a matter to leave the MCOP and go to there would be legalities because these are two separate houses. I did say that I would try to get legal assistance, but unfortunately, the professionals in the MCOP were not available. So we took that decision and we're not guided by any legal coaching in terms of how do we then go about to deal with the matter at that level. But it was purely because we don't have the capacity to deal with the situation. Maybe we can actually let it. Yes, and Honorable
I've got one concern. This is a committee of parliament. We have political heads of the department. We have officials. I wish Chairperson our dress code must be taken further. We cannot allow a cap in this meeting. We cannot allow a cap in this meeting. I know Parliament staff have a tendency of wearing as much as they want, but not with both select committees, education, nutrition, and social services. Neatness.
I don't know if it's a departmental official or a journalist.
Whatever.
No, I'm a journalist.
Journalist?
Yeah.
Okay. Even though we would expect that we respect the meetings of Parliament because this is a formal meeting.
Alright, I'm sorry.
We're not interested, yeah. Next time, just put your cap in the pocket and
just
not.
Thank you.
Okay, no, the meeting stands adjourned. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
We look forward to a meeting with you.
Yeah.
The minutes have passed by the committee, then you can have them as a public.
I'm going to go to the hospital.